You know they do. You don't know they do.
No.
We haven't talked about this.
No, I've never
when
known
when you
this.
Sit at Houston's
so
at the bar.
So it's in your glass.
You're half full.
Okay, they pour it back in the shaker.
Yeah.
Wowza.
And sometimes change glasses. Most times. So now you have a new martini glass. That's now that way. The second half of your drink is as cold as the first half. Right.
This is earth-breaking.
It was funny because they wrote an article about that company in Bon Appetit magazine, and the guy who wrote it was taking his wife to Houston. She's like, we live in New York City. There's 10,000 restaurants. Why are we going to go to Houston's? It's a chain. And as soon as that happened for them at the bar, she was like, okay, now I understand.
I wonder
why
more
special place. I know.
More places don't do that.
You know what the sidecar is when you have a martini? They have a little side thing because mm-hmm. you can't get it all the way to the top. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my point is they just do everything right over there. But I may meet my daughter or somebody for lunch there. And then that would leave a complete – then it'd be like I was married to Houston's, but then all of a sudden if I go at lunchtime, now I'm free to date anybody.
This is beautiful. You right? got a twofer.
I'm free to date anybody. And the other thing at Houston's, you can't sit more than four people. So I have other folks that want to meet me. If I go somewhere else, there'll be a lot more places. So listen, everybody's got their cross to bear. There's huge decisions in the world, right? Where are you going to college? Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to live? Do you take that job? Everybody's got big decisions, probably, though, none bigger than where I'm going to have dinner. So let me just work through that over the next 2 hours.
Okay, I'm just saying. And I wonder if you're going to hurt some feelers out there. Like, if you don't go to this one or that, it's almost like you got to be careful.
It's like it's all of a sudden I'm putting my dating business out there.
Wait.
Right? What do they say about Atlanta? Why the players didn't want to sign here? Because now you got your
side pieces in Atlanta.
So I have all these side piece chefs, and now I'm going to offend somebody or whatever. But anyways, we have fun. Great to be here on my birthday, and great show ahead. You're in town for the next couple of nights, correct?
That's correct. And last night I watched the first two seasons of Cube Quarterback 2.
First two episodes
of the new season.
It would be the episodes. So, what does that mean? When do you say?
It is so good. And Kirk Cousins.
Entertaining and well done.
Brilliantly done. Each of these characters, Jared Goff and his wife, are a whole subplot. Adorable, lovely, nice. He's going to walk away the winner of this thing. Joe Burrow is so interesting, from playing the piano to his obsession with fashion to he was equally as good as basketball player as football. His father was a coach at Ohio University of Football. His mother started when he was this high, taking him to all the sports. I mean, it was just really
good. So what is it you love
scenes.
Most? So that with all the Netflix documentaries that now, you know, when we were in our 20s and 30s, HBO owned sports documentaries. Ross Greenberg was the gentleman's name. Inside the NFL was on there. They had any documentary they touched was gold, right? And I'll try to remember the best ones. But now, Netflix, right? So Netflix has the NASCAR. Netflix has F1. Netflix has the golf. Netflix has the tennis. Now they have, I just heard, a great one for Tour de France. They're just absolutely committed. Something I've always said. Mm-hmm. Well, you want great stories, just cover sports. Like, there's storylines all the time. It's the best reality show. They get that. The best reality shows are covering, you know, sports.
And it's the devil's in the details with this stuff, including music that's playing on the field and how it ties in specifically. This is one of Kirk Cousins' favorite songs. Their comeback against New Orleans. They started playing in the Superdome. I Won't Back Down from Tom Petty. And he looks over and he goes, this is my song.
So why is Kirk Cousins in the Superdome in week two?
Was it here or was it away? I thought it was away.
Yeah, but away was week 10. We talked about it all day yesterday.
Okay, so it was here. Okay,
oh, they were
against
playing
the Saints.
Here.
Sorry, they're playing it here. And
I think it was probably them doing a montage about his music because the Saints' first two games of the year were Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and then we came home and played the Chiefs.
Yeah, so it was one of the scenes into it.
Montages of, how important music is. But what do you love most about the series? Like, overall, what is it? Just the access is so great? Is it that it's filmed so well? I mean, why is QB so good?
Well, that's why I guess I brought up the music. The details that they go into, including like Joe Burrow when he first fell in love with the piano and he takes you to his first practice. And, I mean, the producing of these
Yeah, the highest level and, production, yeah. which is Omaha Productions.
It's Patrick Mahomes, y'all, is involved with his new company. He is the executive producer. He is top billing when you'll see the names coming in back. Yeah, it's just incredible. Kirk Cousins is the most likable human being on earth. And once you see the headlines and then you see the show, I believe you're going to feel different because he's just the golly gee guy that he is. I don't think he
And it looked authentic, his likability factor, mm-hmm. right?
In my opinion,
he's not playing for the cameras. I saw the cuts of him going through his notebooks from, you know, 13 years in the league and mapping out every play and every defensive coordinator. And I thought it was interesting.
I'm talking about the stuff in his backyard with his kids,
yeah.
And he's a big dork, and he loves it. He loves to bring up his haircut at Supercuts. He is fabulous at... on the field when the DJ from the Falcons come over and says it's White Women Wednesday. And he's like, well, let's talk about this. And he just starts sparring with his teammates on white women music from Celine Dion to Taylor Swift to Miley Cyrus.
Let me ask you the question, though. Back to yesterday. Why did he have to do the show? Because when I see these cuts, I don't think he's not entertaining. I just think you did the show. Just focus on football, not on knowing the cameras are on you, not on cameras in your house, talking about all these other things. Why did he have to do the show? He loves the attention of you're the greatest guy ever, right?
Probably.
He loves it.
And the producers knew what they're getting. Like, he's
right.
probably the easiest to deal with, and he's interesting and funny. I'd love to hear if you guys saw it, what you thought. Jared Goff, y'all, wow. And we're all in love.
What are you
with
saying?
Detroit.
Wow! What are you saying? When
he's the nicest, funny, grateful,
easiest to root for.
Yeah, and he basically is like the Rams. There was no phone call. I got no communication.
Yeah, Sean McVay blamed him for why they lost the Super Bowl. That he's not good enough, and they got rid of him right after.
It's good,
right?
It's good how they go there.
So,
yeah.
Well, I am anxious to hear other folks that have watched it.
And this was just the first two. It's
so you
good.
Watched two of them last mm-hmm. night.
Yeah.
All right. The headline was ESPN all day long, and I was watching PTI, Will Bond and Kornheiser. It's all about Falcons misled yeah. Kirk Cousins. So that will be a story, whether you like it or not, in the city of Atlanta. Speaking of a story you don't like, I got one for you right at the top of 9 at 9.
Bo, our teammate here, said, I'm going to stay up and watch it. I thought of you last night when it got to be about 10:25, and it pretty much was over.
Yeah, you did not stay up for the end of that one.
You said it to the very end.
What's going on?
Why would you torture yourself?
That's Meshuggah.
Like that?
So about the fourth inning, Braves game loses the volume. Quarterback gets the volume.
Oh, okay.
So what did you think?
Watched
like the first three episodes, and Braves were just kind of there in the background.
What did you think of QB? What did you
think? Oh, I enjoy it. I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan. You know, I like the fact that they covered, you know, when the Bengals played the Commanders, it was LSU quarterback versus LSU quarterback, Heisman winners, you know, and then Joey B loses. It's just tough to see them go through that. Such a great team as the Bengals. That's exactly what the Braves are going
through.
How
did they lose to the
Such a great team. Why do y'all suck?
Yeah.
How'd they lose to the Patriots in week one?
Yeah.
That's the worst loss Joe Burrow's ever had.
The season they went through. Like, I didn't even
realize. And then they got hot at the
end.
Yeah.
Had you heard that?
It's so funny because you're sitting there watching for Joe Burrow because you're an LSU fan.
Joe Burrow
well, and
Jamar
also
Chase.
Kirk Cousins. But there are a lot of, outside of Kirk, there are a lot of entertaining things.
Great storylines you can enjoy. Braves were down 10-0 early in that game. They get absolutely smoked, and Ronald Acuna scratched.
That was really the bigger headline about 30 minutes prior to that Ronald's not in the lineup. He was working out and tweaked his back. So we'll see how that all goes. But, yeah, bad to worse. It's the bad news Braves. Oy, they will go again tonight. Bryce Elder is on the mound. Didier Fuentes is over. It's over. The experiment is over. So Jesse Chavez comes up and gives up two home runs, one of which is a grand slam. I mean, it's terrible. I guess that's it. Wimbledon, we want to tell you in 30 minutes. Ben Shelton is going to go at 9:30.
I mean, dude, this is – Djokovic
good.
Is playing this morning. Shelton's playing this morning. Both in the – Is this the semis? Yeah.
This is the quarters.
Oh, the quarters. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The quarters, right?
Yeah.
Because breakfast is Wimbledon's on Sunday, so the semis are Friday, and then the finals are Sunday. Yeah, American tennis, front and center. That's great stuff. I mean, we got Hawks stories for you, but we'll just wait till after the break. The Hawks have spoken. Newest members, general manager. There's just great conversation. Some guy walked out to me last night. Where was I? Oh, I was at Joey D's Oakrum in Dunwoody. Some guy grabs my shoulder and goes, who's better next year, Atlanta Hawks or Atlanta Falcons? I said, well, I gave him an answer, but you have to wait 5 minutes, and I'll give you mine on the air. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. So it's a Wednesday morning in the great city of Atlanta.
In
the great voice of the steakhouse, because it has my name on the moniker. Mm-hmm. What's great, I get to do it for 5 days. Normally I only get Sandy for three. I get Rusty for one. I get Drew for one. This week, Sandy's giving me the whole week. Is that like a birthday gift?
It is. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So, y'all, Friday morning, 9 to 11, I think it's going to be a really special show. John Gordon, who I've known for years, is one of the great motivation speakers, and I love his books. They are an easy read, and you walk away, learn something, and motivated.
John Gordon owned Park Bench in Buckhead mm-hmm. at the height of Buckhead. And I knew him super well and was just a great dude. I think he went to Cornell and played lacrosse or whatever it is. And, like, he leaves Atlanta, and next thing you know, he's an author. I was like, why is the owner of Park Bench and Buckhead an author and motivational speaker? Like, next thing you know, he's got 15 books. Mm-hmm. He has been in every NFL team. He's like a college team. Mm-hmm. Mike Smith and him have written multiple books together. He writes about leadership, teamwork. He writes great stuff about his wife, we'll talk about, I guess, who has been sober for a certain amount of years. You read that whole backstory. About what she came from. I mean, he's just become a superstar and not easy to get. And I think you'll hear for 2 hours a guy that we've known a long time that his career has blown up. And his book, The Energy Bus, one of the most famous motivational leadership books. So he's coming in Friday. That's why Sandy is working Friday, because she set all that up, as she does so often. So we get 4 days of Miss Sandy. And Rusty's at the beach anyway. I mean,
Rusty's now chapter two of breaking down Missouri's offensive line.
Yeah.
So he's very
He's getting himself dialed in for SEC media days. You know, he's got his, the old magazine, Phil Steele. He's sitting out on a balcony in
Panama City.
Mm-hmm. City. And he's getting himself ready. So Sandy's here the entire week. We get our 2 hours, and we appreciate you making this radio station the highest rated that's ever been in the history of sports talk radio. So that's a great thing for the format, home of the Hawks, home of United, and home of the Atlanta Falcons. There's so many storylines going on around all of it. We'll tell you more about All-Star Game weekend. Brave struggles are immense. Beyonce in town. All those things are coming up. But
so fun.
You talk about the world of sports. I always like to say, not unlike Wall Street or your 401k or your investments with Jerry, who lives down the street and handles your portfolio. Stocks are up and down, man. Who are you investing in? And right now, the stocks on the Atlanta Hawks, in terms of the public, right? What's the public feel about that stock? Oh, my God. If the public is measured by NBA insiders looking at the offseason, here's not something you thought you'd hear too often. The Atlanta Hawks have won the offseason. They've won the offseason. They've recreated their team. They have added pieces. They have added depth. They made great savvy moves prior to Ancy Salah taking over as general manager. They drafted Risa Shea, which worked out. They traded for Dyson Daniels and were able to dump DeJounte Murray. But yesterday, it was time to speak again for the general manager introducing some players. We were there. I think Caleb was there getting all the sound. And he talked about a couple of huge moves, Luke Kennard being one of them, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker being another in terms of free agents, and how you make the decision on who you're trying to bring to Atlanta.
When we look at our free agents, honestly, it's like it's a year-long study, if not longer. Like, we've been watching these guys for a long period of time, and we identified people in terms of, like, their fits within, do the intel, do the stuff that's, like, beyond the court, like scouting and analytically how they fit within everything. So taking those three things, you're just a perfect
Yeah, that's a really loud basketball. But what he's basically saying is
the basketball.
Yeah, no, so we'll have to see the second cut, but he basically said they've been looking at these guys for well over it's not one season, for seasons. You know, the reason you interview when you pick 20th, you interview the fifth or sixth player in the draft is because guys have long careers. They play in multiple teams. So you may have gotten something out of an interview with a guy you know you couldn't draft, but then it comes around that he's in his free agent year. That certainly happened with the two guys they got, Luke Kennard, Nickeil Walker. Porzingis also absolutely the talk of hoops. Let me see if you can get this at all, because he does talk about Porzingis, and they're like, bro, that's a big investment in a guy that is injury prone is the first thing you think of.
I just think Kristaps' archetype is so unique in this league, and we're very confident with our performance staff and very confident with him and his health. Like, we don't have any worries or issues there. I just think from a player standpoint, he is very, very dynamic and offers something that Atlanta really hasn't seen before.
I just reposted 2.5 minute Porzingis highlights. Did you watch any of that? Probably not. The reason, of course, he's injury prone. I mean, I don't care how many medical staffs look at him. You could have the finest doctors in the world. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to say his last 8 years of being injured on and off don't matter. You know, you can't lay hands on someone, right? Isn't that the expression? And say you're cured, right? But the upside, and this is what everybody listening needs to understand, and go look at the 2.5 minute video when I wrote, I love that he's on our team, Porzingis. His upside is so friggin' high, dude, because his game is just ridiculous. A 7'1" guy drilling 40% from three, who is unguardable on the post against most guys, who is just athletic as hell. And, you know, he is, before there was Wembanyama, this is the unicorn. Nobody's ever been like him.
He didn't give up anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Terrence Mann and Georges Niang.
Okay.
Right.
To your point, if he plays half the season, right, you're still winning.
Exactly. His upside is way too high. What's the gamble? You didn't trade Dyson Daniels or Risa Shea, right? You traded two journeymen and guys whose expiring contracts, you know, good contracts to get rid of, actually. When you have a guy like Porzingis on the roster, if he gives you 50 games, and even if he's out and it doesn't work out, he didn't play for Boston in a bunch of games. They were like, that guy was awesome. We loved everything about it. I think he averaged like 24 or 25 a game 3 years ago when he was in Washington. That's why the Celtics are like, we'll take a chance, 25 a game. Dynamic player. Let's see if Nikhil Walker.
No, let's see if he's dribbling while he's talking.
Yeah, let's see if this is any better. He did talk about playing for Quinn Snyder, like he did in Utah briefly, and how Quinn has said, you got to get out of your comfort zone.
I think Quinn is a basketball mind, and you see his gears turn when he thinks the game, when he talks about the game, the passion that he has towards it, which is exciting for me because I want to get better. I want to improve and offensively and defensively. And I feel like he has set that runway for me to really try to take off and to grow as a player.
I
can see why they get along. They sound alike.
Well,
he's
just a low-key dude.
That's what I mean. So is Quinn. Their vibe is similar.
Here is one thing he did say. I want you to hear this, and we're going to play more. And it's a lot of NBA for you. He was thinking about who could sign him. He's a free agent. He only averages 9 a game, but he is a big-time playoff-type guy because of his defense, because of his ability to come off the bench and do so many things. I mean, he's a championship-type guy if you want on your team, a glue, if you will. Poor man's Drew Holiday, almost. He said he played the Hawks twice. He didn't play well against them, and he's like, oh, scratch them off the list. Like, they're not going to be a team that looks at me after the way I just played against them both times last year.
When I look back in the season, I was like, man, I never really played great against Atlanta, you know? So you always wonder, like, what teams have that perception of you and what they're really thinking of you. But obviously it's an 82-game season, so, you know, that means they watch more than just those two games. And it feels great, honestly.
When you sign a guy,
if Quinn was with him for 16 games, he knows exactly the DNA.
You sign a guy for 60-something million, you're watching every minute of 80 games. So I'm excited.
So the answer to the guy that said it, Joey D's, who's going to have a better season, you said the Atlanta Hawks.
How do you know that?
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think the Hawks are in really great place. I think the Hawks are a top four team in the East. I think the Hawks, if Jalen Johnson is an all-star player, they're friggin' loaded. They just did a thing of best tandems in the league, 1-2 punches in the East. I think Trae Young and Porzingis came up extremely high. That's Trae Young and Porzingis. Forget about Jalen. Forget about Dyson. Forget about, Risa Shea's still young, but like, there's a lot there. But Jalen Johnson, I just hope that, you know, every minute that we're on the air, he's
And talk about staying healthy.
Yeah, he's shooting a three and he's working on with a trainer, right?
Yep.
This is Jalen Johnson's chance, man. If he is a force, they got the right coach. I don't know. I'm excited, but whatever. I'm an NBA guy. You know that. And anyway, listen.
Well, it's great for our city if the Hawks are kicking it.
Oh, my God. How fun will this be?
So much fun.
How fun will this be this fall? So Sandra's on a hot streak. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's hard because it's my birthday. It's supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about me, but it's about the queen. We had a conversation yesterday, and she's like, wait till 9:40 today. I'm going to give it to you. We're going to give her that chance. Stick around. 6 minutes. Sports Radio 929. And there won't be a paperback. 9:41, the number one song in America the week that I was born.
The day, July 9th, 1966, Billboard's number one song was Paperback Writer with the Beatles.
That's a great Beatles song.
It really is.
It translates 60 years later. Part of what we're doing today is guests looking at it's my birthday. I get to be in the air.
Yeah, let's celebrate a little bit. Can you remember your most favorite birthday party growing up when you were little?
Well, like when I was little.
Do you remember a theme? Mm-hmm. I don't mean your bar mitzvah. I mean like your birthday party of like or a present. You're like, oh my God, I got the greatest G.I. Joe. Or something.
You know,
like
I always ask people that same question. Red Sox tickets.
Oh yeah.
Like my when I was like 8 or 9. So my parents weren't sports fans. We certainly didn't have season tickets. You know, I was having other people take me to games, and I was obsessed with Fenway Park and anything. And I think it was under my pillow. And remember, you get those old school tickets. I still picture them. The red rim. It was Red Sox versus Rangers, and it was like a date in August. So I had 5 weeks to get excited about it. But, yeah, game tickets from a dad that was not a sports fan, right, but knew he was going to take me, and the hard, you know, tickets, I was probably 9 or 10.
That's awesome.
You know, I had a couple of great parties. We had a 40th party at my house a long time ago, obviously, and let's just say Kimberly and I, do we have any kids? So I was 40, yeah, maybe, but somebody must have taken them away for the night. Because we had the early party that ended at 11:30 in the backyard, right?
So fun.
Which was matched by one of the most inappropriate toasts ever by two of my buddies. That, just to say, some of my business associates in Atlanta are like, who are those hoodlums? And then Kimberly set up a red velvet rope, kind of as a joke. And then we have a basement that was unfinished. So, like, if you're on the B team, you left at 11:15, 11:30. But the A team was told... stick around. You got the red rope that leads in our house down to the basement.
Yep.
And we played that out. And then a DJ came in and played from midnight till, let's just say my mom got up for her walk at 4:44 a.m. and ran into my buddy Evan, who has stumbled upstairs. And she's just like, how many are left down there?
That's great.
Right?
That's fun. Good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, you know.
Are you planning your big 60th?
A little bit. There's a little conversation about it, but let's not get into that right now.
Okay.
All right?
Wow.
We have too many other things.
Okay.
But there's some rumors.
I want to say before we move on quickly from that conversation that you had with Joey D's, like, who's going to have the better season? So, my husband and I were watching this stuff last night. I was like, how in the world did we finish 8-9? Because, you know, they take you to 6-3, and we're feeling good, Falcon fans, through two episodes of a quarter.
Can I ask you one question? How did the Kirk Cousins comeback in Philly look?
Sick.
Right?
Sick.
I mean, that was one of the greatest moments.
Maybe that's where the music was. I'm so sorry. Right. So he's in Monday Night Football in Philadelphia, and a Won't Back Down comes on, and he goes, that's my song.
I think they play that song in Philly on every game.
Oh, it was so good. It was chill bump moment,
y'all.
He was
singing it out loud, and it was one of his favorite songs. Yep.
And they do not show the Saquon drop. They don't show that part. They just show Falcons come back and that sick catch. And
it's one of the greatest wins in Kirk Cousins' career, if not the greatest. Mm-hmm. No timeouts. 97, whatever it is, on national TV for a brand new football team that was 0-1, and he goes right down the field.
I will tell you, Steak and Bo, I know you heard this. if he mentioned we have too many motions, we have he must have mentioned it 10 times. Why are all these motions? Why are we motioning? Why are we all moving? So that two-minute drill, he's like, this is my wheelhouse. It's go time. And you saw dart after dart. Do you guys remember that drive? It was sick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I was like,
the Drake London throw, he catches it right up here in that corner.
Oh, my God,
of the
it was
zone.
So perfect. Yeah. Yes. So anywho, we're excited about this season. And Michael Penix and all that's the line in Vegas, which Vegas knows a little something.
Yeah, they know better.
Y'all, the win total for Vegas is 7.5. Are we feeling a false sense of fabulous?
Always.
Okay, so the last five
if they go
seasons,
8-9, you win. If you go 8-9, and if you go 8-9, not many people will have jobs here.
I totally agree.
8-9, you win your bet and you lose everybody else because everything you have done, Arthur Blank, who has to deal with watching this documentary unravel for the Falcons. And he's got another shot. He's how old? 82 years old?
Yeah. He'll be 83 in
September. It's like you pick top five how many years in a row? So you got Kyle and you got Drake and you got Bijan, then you got Penix at 8. And now you got these two first rounders. We have no first rounder next year, right?
That's right.
You mortgage the future on that one, right? These guys' contracts are going to be coming up. You wanted a new D coordinator. We gave you that. You want to keep your, like, this is all you wanted. So here it goes. Like, are the pieces finally here? And Vegas is saying, not really.
Well, if you go back to 2020, which is what Stake was saying, Vegas looks at what we've done from a 4-12 year in 2020, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10, 8-9. And it's 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, back of the baseball card, don't lie. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
But that's not really fair because the NFL is built for you to be able to turn it around. If you're really bad, you pick at the top of the draft. If you have young players, you're not paying them as much. If you have a young quarterback, you don't have to pay him $60 million if he's on a rookie deal. I mean, the league is built that it's hard to stay great for long, but it's easier to go from bad to better and then really good because you load up on draft picks, you have more cap space, your best players, if they're high in the draft, you're not paying that much. The biggest thing is the quarterback. If Michael Penix is only making what the number 8 pick makes, because, by the way, if he's good, you're going to be paying him, I don't know, $60, $50 million in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, listen, I'm bullish on him. I know why Vegas says it. Vegas's job, Sandra, is to go by the public. Right? And let's just say that they're not worried at the Mirage or the Wynn sportsbook that there's going to be a rush on Falcons overs, right? That's not what people think. So there's going to the Cowboy number will always be a little bit higher because they know they're going to get, they need money the other way, and people always want to bet over on the Cowboys. And they want to bet over on the 49ers because you're out in Vegas. Where the Falcons, they're like, you know.
And last year it was 8.5.
Last year, it was.
Last year, and well, I bet
with Kirk
the
Cousins.
Over.
Yeah, with
and
Kirk
we're
Cousins
6-3, and I'm ready to spend that money.
Oh my God, I know.
And
so,
then a funny thing happened on the way.
And by the way, the Hawks over under. We looked at it, Drew and I, on Monday. I think the over under is 46, which means they're projected to be 10 games over 500, 46-36, which is top four in the
okay.
And it jumped up big time. I think it's. I would say in the Eastern Conference, we can take a look. They're probably third or fourth in the East, probably fourth in the Eastern Conference. Everybody, by the way, Paolo Banchero, everybody's talking about Orlando as well. But the Pacers don't have their best player. The Celtics don't have their best player, and they're on a fire sale. You know, the Knicks.
All eyes on Milwaukee and what they do with Giannis.
Yeah, and Knicks got turned down by everybody, ended up with Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be a lot of fun to see those two teams in particular, especially with what the Braves are struggling with. Are we ready finally? Even though it's supposed to be, you know, play my music and talk about my parties. But Sandra is living her best life, man. Living her best life. SEC Media Days coming up in a few days. Sandra got on a rant yesterday. And I rightfully just, I was trying to mansplain her. Sandra, why do you care about quarterbacks at SEC Media Days? They're going to want veteran players Gunnar Stockton.
Specifically, I'm like, Gunnar, why isn't Kirby? Well, I've heard he's a great leader.
I said, you're adorable, but he has never even started more than a game.
Yeah, you patted me on the head and I said, please go away. Well,
stop.
And by the way, even Rusty's like, yeah, they're not doing that. A lot of the teams are not even bringing quarterbacks. And I was like,
We were on a text chain that I will say Rusty's the nicest guy in the world. He did mansplain you. I felt a little.
Y'all are cute. Y'all are precious as well.
So, do you have the list of who's coming to Atlanta?
I do. There are 16 teams in the SEC.
Okay.
11 of those are bringing their quarterbacks, including one gentleman who is a junior at the University of Georgia.
Oh.
Gunnar Stockton.
Oh, I told you he wasn't coming.
Is, in fact, representing the Bulldogs, along with C.J. Allen and Dalen Everett.
All right.
Now, what I did not say on the air yesterday, I was like, Kirby is going to open up a can of worms for not bringing Gunner, because we're all going to say, is Ryan Puglisi the starting quarterback? Do we have a battle? Is this something we should bark up that tree? So the fact that he's bringing
him is one million. I mean, I never heard a wavering that he wasn't going to be, but I said, hey, he hasn't been a leader long enough to warrant coming. You're like, what about Stetson Bennett? He came. I was like, Sandy, stop it. Any other quarterbacks coming?
All the studs. A little guy by the name of, I don't know if y'all have heard of him, Arch Manning.
But we knew that. That's the one we knew.
They hadn't announced it yet. They didn't say. They said they got to bring him. Lenore Sellers, John Mateer from Oklahoma, Mississippi State's, Vanderbilt's, Diego Pavia, Arch Manning, Austin Simmons from Ole Miss, Garrett Nussmeier. He's the second leading Heisman candidate odds.
Yeah, remember we interviewed his dad numerous times.
That's right.
He used to be, he's had all kinds of jobs, but he was the offensive coordinator at Michigan when we interviewed him, right?
He used to be at the University of Florida as well, I think. Jackson Arnold at Auburn, Talon Green at Arkansas. So
like you said, they're going to bring quarterbacks. I said they don't have to bring him. And once again, you were right. I'm seeing just about every.
There's 11 of the schools.
DJ Lagway, you say him, he's coming.
Yep.
And
let me tell you something. They can get a lot of this media stuff out of the way for these kids, because when I tell you ESPN College Game Day, if you can recall seeing what's your favorite food, and they ask the quarterback, and they do these storylines that they will use throughout the entire season. So this really actually helps those kids not having to deal with media during the year.
The reason that Kirby liked bringing Brock Bowers is Brock Bowers hates it. And I don't even know if he brought him, but he'd stick him out there and go, you got to get used to this, man. I know all you want to do is play ball. That you have nothing to say. You're a workout machine. You're like built in a lab and you just want to play a game. But he said, I'm going to force him. Remember, he said, I'm going to torture Brock Bowers and I'm going to make him have to go out there and deal with this. And that's part of it. You're in a room of 100 people peppering you with all kinds of stuff. And by the way, when you're the quarterback of an SEC team, so kudos to you for saying they should bring him. We said it's not going to happen, but Gunnar Stockton will be here next week, and we'll have access to him, I am quite sure, when we broadcast live throughout the week.
We'll be there all week, y'all, so make sure to tune in from 9 to 11. And Rusty himself, I mean, can you imagine what Rusty's going to walk
king.
Around like the mayor?
It's like me walking
sure.
into it's, it. Would you say more juice, Rusty Manziel walking into the SEC Media Days, or Steak walking into Goldberg's on Roswell Road? Goldberg's,
those are equally
who
impressive.
Has more,
the parting of the people.
Yeah, who I has mean, more juice?
The Jew walking into a Goldberg's, or, I mean, the king I'm of the Redneck just, Riviera right now walking into the SEC.
Yeah,
I got to call
just think
it
about
maybe
it.
Even. This is impressive.
Even? That's even money?
That's probably
would Vegas
even money.
Have that as a pick'em?
Woo, that's a pick'em.
It's a pick'em?
Mm-hmm. All right. Pick'em. Pick your bagel flavor. There you go. Yeah, that's good.
All right, anything else?
Nothing important. You know what I thought was interesting is LSU is really the first university, especially big university, to come out and say, we're likely going to have cell patches on our uniforms. And I thought, wait, nobody's doing that yet. You've got to assume that that's a pretty big deal that's on the way. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say.
Well, listen, it's like when you have this $20 million budget, you have to fill every program. Josh Brooks announced there'll be a concert in Athens. Jay Batt did a whole thing. They let him speak at the Business of Sports Summit, even though he's in Michigan State. We should mention the new hire, by the way.
Yeah, Ryan Alpert, I was just about to get you. Georgia Tech won the day yesterday, including a Reese Davis tweet that went on and on and on about Ryan Alpert, who was the former Tennessee Senior Deputy Athletic Director. And this little note called the Chief Revenue Officer, when he was in charge of what essentially is the battery at Neyland Stadium, he was in charge of raising money for that project.
Yeah.
Is the
Matt Daddy. No, he's got to be a fundraiser. All that matters.
Yeah. 5-year contract.
Point being, Jay Batt talked about they're going to use every revenue stream possible. Remember the guy? He's the one that named the stadium at Georgia Tech in terms of a sponsorship deal. And, of course, concerts now. Josh Brooks said we'll have one in April, I believe,
of
next year.
April of 26, yeah. Hey, they were asking for suggestions on, I believe, Dog Nation or what concert.
I just want to mention LSU real quick because they're a fascinating team to look at with Nussmeier, right?
Yep.
Three of their first five games, they're at Clemson, maybe the best team in the nation. Week three, they host the Gators, who certainly have a lot to prove. And then week five, they are in Oxford, Mississippi against Lane Kiffin. We'll know a lot about LSU.
I wonder if they don't come out as strong, I wonder if this is Brian Kelly's he may be done.
I don't know them beating Clemson on the road, but
if they don't with a Heisman finalist,
Nussmeier.
Whatever he's supposed to be, Garrett Nussmeier, who's week like year 5 college football. He's like 24, whatever. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
BK.
That's a hell of a start to their season, man. Florida, they should be able to win it in Baton Rouge, but they got Ole Miss on the road and Clemson on the road. They got to win one of those two games, and that is not going to be easy. When we come back, why is our friend L. Duncan all about coming here and supporting the G, getting grief from Kirk Herbstreit, and does it bother you when your SportsCenter anchors are cheering outright the blasphemy? Sports Radio 929.